This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Well, Spencer is live in studio, and we are so honored to have him here. Not really fun Fridays, but
fun Mondays.
Yeah, yeah. That's it's good to see you. You couldn't be with us on Monday. And my brother stopped by in your stead, and you were away, but we are glad you stopped in for a little news chat.
Yeah, thanks.
How are you?
I'm good.
It's good to see you.
Sure. I was just watching Seinfeld. They were saying Monday doesn't have a feel. You know, like Sunday's got a feel. Oh, no, Monday has a feel. Of course Monday has a feel.
It's Wednesday.
Tuesday doesn't have a feel.
Tuesday and Wednesday don't have feels for me, and I always get them mixed up.
Oh, okay.
Thursday has a feel because it's Little Friday.
Oh.
You know, you're very close. You can feel it. Friday definitely has a feel. Saturday and Sunday have a feel. You know what I've always wondered? Why is it that on a Saturday or a Sunday, that it literally feels different? The air feels different when you're out. You could have the exact same weather on a Monday and be standing outside, and it just doesn't feel the same.
How does it feel?
You know what I'm talking about? It feels like a Monday. I can't be the only person that's ever felt that. You don't know what I'm talking about?
I know what a Sunday feels like, but I really don't know how any other day feels. And maybe a Friday, because you and I get a little punchy in here on Friday.
We do. We do indeed. We have a good time. So George Allen, of course, announced this morning a big statement.
Today, I'm announcing my candidacy for the U.S. Senate.
There you go. The insider is now the outsider who wants to get back in. And he will be running for the Republican nomination. Not going to be a cakewalk. There's a lot of people that want to run against him. And already he's come under fire from conservative Republicans who say, well, he never amounted to much in the Senate, and he's too liberal for us now anyway. The party has actually shifted further afield, further to the right of even George Allen, which is pretty staggering. But that's going to be pretty fascinating to watch him try to get that nomination.
Yeah, I noticed he mentioned his wife quite a few times in the video.
Susan,
yes. I don't know what that means. Does the Jim Webb, he doesn't have a wife, or he has had multiple wives or something? Is just my guess. I mean, I don't know. What's the story there? He just kept referring to Susan and I. Now, Susan and I are going to do this, and Susan and I feel good about this. And
it's
thought, well, wait
obviously
a minute.
Somebody's told him, you should probably mention Susan.
Yeah, Susan must be like a good politician.
It's all marketing.
He also mentioned that...
But Jim Webb does have a wife.
He has a wife.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay.
Yeah, and a young child, too, I think.
Okay.
I don't think it's a first wife.
So,
but
if
I don't
you have
wanna
a wife...
I don't want to say he's had, quote-unquote, multiple wives.
Okay,
it's not
yeah.
Big Love or anything, but he's had, you know, I think he's had at least two.
And George Allen had a prior wife.
Get out. Really?
Yeah.
There was
a prior Mrs. Allen.
A pre-Susan.
In fact,
I didn't know that.
Do you remember that scuffle at the Omni?
I do.
During the last
Tell us about it. I remember it well, yeah.
Well, there was a fellow there who, his name was Stark, and he was yelling at Allen.
He used to call the show a lot.
He was making some allegations about Allen's behavior toward his first wife, and that's when Allen's staffers allegedly tackled him, and that became one of the first big gaffes of Allen's
failed
re-election
bid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then of course, came this.
So welcome. Let's give a welcome to Makaka here.
Ouch.
Welcome to America and the real world of Virginia.
Ouch. There you go. There you go. That's what did him in. That was the final straw. And that's what even Republicans are now saying. He can't get past that. But we'll see. He's got a lot of fans in this state.
Well, he's going to not try to get past coal. He, in his video, he talked about Virginia's natural resources, and he has a video image of a fully loaded coal train snaking through the hills, as if to say, dig, baby, dig, or something. I don't know. I guess.
I love that whole mindset. It's like, pollution? Ah, who cares?
Well, actually, you know, the cover story in The Atlantic this month or last month is by James Fallows, where he talks about how the future of clean energy may be dirty coal. Isn't that odd? He cites China as like an innovator on clean coal technologies. I kid you not. Dude, get this.
Everybody I know who's been to China, to some of those industrial cities,
said they're filthy.
Said that it's the like most filthy places they've ever been. It's like black dust in the air all the time. You can't even breathe.
Except that they build like a new coal plant like every day or so. And so they're like, okay, now we know what was wrong with those last 1,000 coal plants. The next 1,000 are going to be a little better.
There you go.
Dude, I bought a blender from I'm not going to name the company because I guess you don't do that on the radio because they're not here to defend. But I bought a blender from a formerly blue chip American company, and I turned that baby in, on, and it blended one milkshake, and then poof, big puffs of smoke came up.
Really?
And I was so dumb. I bought it off of Amazon. It was dirt cheap. And then I read the reviews after I bought it, and everybody was like, "Oh, this thing burns up after like three uses." I'm like, "Three uses? I got one use."
And you're a milkshake guy. I know that. You love your milkshakes.
I was trying to have a
spare. You got to read the reviews before you buy the product.
Actually, I really got my punishment for buying from Amazon. I just saw a cool sticker that a local company called Printworks made. You know those oval stickers that have like, you know, CVL on them for Charlottesville.
Oh, put on your cars.
You put them on your car. They used to be for like European nations. They'd be like, I don't know, CH for Switzerland.
They sort of got popular in the late 80s, and then all of a sudden everybody had to have one for every possible community on the planet.
Right now it's like, I love my little Yorkie Terrier or something squeezed in there. But anyway, Printworks made one that says, "Buy local" in big letters, and then in smaller letters, "Save your job."
Ooh.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means keep your local money filtering through the local economy. Don't be buying all this stuff through the internet.
Don't be having red light cameras that send money to Australia, for example.
Exactly. Don't tax Albemarle and Charlottesville citizens driving at Rio Road so that Australia can get rich.
Yeah. On the clock, we are talking with Haas Spencer of The Hook. He's live in studio on this Monday afternoon. There's a weather event on the way. Did you hear about this?
Oh, yeah.
Rain tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah,
and then, and then snow on Wednesday, but not a lot, just sort of nasty, sleety stuff during the day, right?
It could be more than an inch.
No. Who said more than an inch?
I'm looking at the NOAA. What does that stand for?
The National Obstetrics.
Yeah,
something like that.
Well, actually, I'm looking at the National Weather Service's Hydrometeorological Prediction Center. They've got this pretty map, and
you know, you are, of all the friends that I have, you're more in tune with weather news, I think, than anyone I know who's not a weather person.
Dude, I'm
like, there's Brantley Ussery, but he's a weather guy.
Right, dude, I'm completely dumb about it. I just like the white, pretty flakes coming down. I don't like know how the nucleus forms and how things crystallize and whether they're actually two snowflakes identical and fronts and the warm, swirling vortex. I don't know that stuff.
So we actually could see some measurable precipitation on Wednesday during the day.
We really could, and we could see even more on Thursday.
I didn't even know about Thursday.
I'm looking at this map right now. I don't know.
So Thursday could be more snow.
I've been wrong before, though.
No, not you.
Yeah.
So we could see early school closings on Wednesday.
Let's hope. Parents really want to juggle more than they already have to juggle.
Yeah, indeed. It's 5:20. Now, the big news, of course, that you reported on, and you broke this story recently, was about the monument to our Great Recession on the downtown mall, the Landmark Hotel. What is the latest, Haas Spencer?
Well, I don't know if you'd call that a landmark to recession or a landmark to a developer and an owner who just couldn't get along.
You think that's what it is, or you just think it had something to do with the money drying up, or was it just these two guys just didn't get along? Halsey Minor and Lee Danielson.
There have been findings on both sides of the issue. You may recall that an arbitrator found in favor of Halsey Minor against Lee Danielson, but it turned out to be kind of a paper victory in this binding arbitration last year because it was actually in favor of Minor against a company owned by Danielson, a company with essentially no assets, and so Minor would have a hard time collecting on that.
Yeah.
But then last week, down in Atlanta, in the default case waged by the bank against Halsey Minor, the owner, the bank. Which is, the bank isn't even a bank anymore. The bank is owned by the taxpayers, the FDIC. That one went in favor of the bank, and so they now are back in control of the landmark and can presumably dispose of it. Now,
so the federal government basically owns this bank now, or this building.
Yeah,
because they took the bank, and now the bank owns the building.
That's right.
So the federal government, Washington, owns this thing on our downtown mall that was never finished.
That's right.
Okay.
And they have to deal, though, with a possible appeal from Minor. He says that he will be appealing this travesty of justice. And
Does he live here? Where does he live?
He lives in
California?
You know, he's somewhere in California. He's had houses in L.A. and San Francisco, and I don't pretend to know where he is at any given time. He also has a farm here out in Free Union.
I thought that sold or was auctioned off. Or
no, you may
foreclosed.
Recall, it was almost foreclosed, and he zipped in at the last minute with some cash money and kept the bank man at bay.
There you go. But, so what's the future of this landmark hotel then now that the government owns it?
Well, theoretically, if Miner doesn't appeal, they just need to dispose of it. They'll sell it on the cheap to a developer who can finish it up or turn it into a chicken coop or whatever. I mean, you know.
Well, they allow chickens now in Charlottesville, so maybe we can do that.
Yeah, sometimes they bundle these things and sometimes they piecemeal them. But
yeah.
But this is...
What do you think it's going to end up as a hotel? Or some people have said that this could be like an apartment complex.
Well, you know, it was fairly far along. You know, the whole concrete and steel skeleton had been poured and erected, and there were even air conditioning units put up on the rooftop. But there's a lot of outfitting left to be done. I think the bank had fronted $10.5 million out of what was anticipated to be like a $23.5 million loan, and Miner had put in something like $7+ million of his own. So there's been approximately $17-18 million put into it. Now there's also still some litigation coming from the general contractor and some of the subs.
So this isn't decided soon.
No,
it's still going on.
It's still really complicated, very wounded property. You're not gonna look up next week and go, "Wow, nice new hotel."
Yeah, it's gonna be years.
It's probably going to be years.
So that one that they're just started, the crane went up and they're building this new high-rise on Water Street, that'll probably be finished before anybody ever gets in there and goes back to the landmark.
Unless that one runs into trouble.
Oh, that's Lee Danielson and Halsey Miner aren't involved. I don't think so.
No, that.
How big is that going to be?
The water house is something in the order of like 4 or 5 stories.
It was going to be 9, right? They were all going to be 9. Now they're all going to be like 4.
That's right. They scaled it back as the headquarters... It's still mixed-use complex, but with a prime tenant in the form of a business called World Strides, which is currently...
That tour company?
That's right.
Yeah.
They currently occupy some space in Albemarle County.
Yeah. Out on Pantops, right?
I thought they... Is that where they are?
I think they had the building there on the bypass for a long time.
Oh, they got rid of that.
And then I think they moved out to Pantops. I thought. I could be wrong.
Maybe they popped into Pantops.
But they're going downtown.
Going downtown. They got some tax deal.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I want a tax deal.
Don't we all?
How do you get them? So you got to get rich, and then you start getting bailed out so that you can stay rich. That's how this country works.
Are you trying to force me into talking about Biscuit Run? Are you dropping tantalizing little leads?
Well, what's the latest?
Well, there's really no latest, but
the Attorney General has been alerted. It's on his radar.
That's the latest. The Attorney General says that there's going to be something looking into this, but he was very careful about the words he chose.
He was cagey. He was cagey hoss.
Yeah, cagey Cuccinelli.
He was cagey. He's cagey. Like, oh, you know, there's something there we got to look into.
Yeah, he didn't want to come out and say there's an investigation because you're not allowed to even confirm that there is an investigation. But I think the word his quote was, "I can tell you and therefore reassure the public that the Biscuit Run matter is being reviewed by appropriate parties."
There you go.
You know, he's not really like banging the drum and running with that one, though, is he?
It doesn't sound like it.
He's not going after that with
it's
the
fervor. It's not like the hockey graph kind of stuff where I want to see Michael Mann's paperwork.
That's right.
You know, he's not that strong about it. He's like, yeah, we could look at that.
Right.
But from what I'm hearing from you and other reporters around town, there's a whole lot there to look at.
Well,
smells fishy.
We'll stay on that one.
Yeah, indeed. We're talking with Hoss Spencer. He's live in studio. Hoss, can you stay with us for a few more minutes?
Oh, Coy, I'll be happy to stay with you for a few more minutes.
Good stuff.
Rub your tummy.
Hoss Spencer is live in studio. Hoss, y'all posted a story recently at The Hook about all these car break-ins.
Car break-ins. Yes, we did, Coy. Looks like they've got a couple of arrests in that one. There were lots of break-ins. I mean,
what happened about this? Because I heard this on WINA, which I am wont to listen to.
According to seven days a week.
But and they were talking about cars being broken in all around the city and in the urban ring, as we say.
Yeah, they've arrested two individuals, a 19-year-old and a 18-year-old, and accused them of I don't know if they've actually, the charges haven't stipulated this, but they think that they are linked to more than 200 vehicle break-ins. and they the authorities invited reporters in today to look at some of the hall, which and I'm looking at a picture now of samurai swords and guns, and I asked reporter Lisa Province if people were storing their samurai sons and samurai swords and guns in their cars. Apparently,
honey, where's my samurai sword? You left it in the station wagon, dear. Oh, again?
Yeah. Well, one of these individuals was arrested for breaking and entering last May and convicted of a misdemeanor charge of entering property with intent to damage. He got a 12-month jail sentence with 10 months suspended. If he was responsible for this latest string of car break-ins, I think people are going to be wondering if that was such a brilliant idea to suspend most of that sentence.
Yeah. So they found all this stuff. So clearly, there's if they found all the stolen stuff with these teenagers, then...
maybe they just found it, Coy.
Open it shut, as they say.
They just found it.
The teenagers just found it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not mine. I'm holding it for somebody.
Yeah, that's it. That's
yeah,
the ticket.
Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. You know, go ahead, yeah.
Well, you were playing Beatles music early coming into the break, and that reminded me of another story we put up just a few days ago about a woman who lived in Charlottesville some years ago, and now she helped the Abbey Road crossing, you know, where the Beatles posed for that famous album cover.
I do. I read the story.
You read the story? She helped get the crossing landmarked.
As a historic landmark?
As a historic landmark.
In England.
In England.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. She went to Venable Elementary, and now she works for the it's not the National Trust. It's called English Heritage. English Heritage.
There you go.
English Heritage says this is a landmark.
So let me ask you this. This is Restaurant Week in Charlottesville.
Oh, yeah. Restaurant
Week.
Which
is a new tradition started by The Hook.
Yep.
Started by you, actually, because you just saw it somewhere else and said, why aren't we doing that? And then bada bing, bada bing, Charlottesville's doing Restaurant Week. Huge success. Everybody looks forward to it now. What is it?
It's a lot of fun.
It is. And tell people what it is and what's going on.
Well, Restaurant Week is the semi-annual food orgy where people can get a prefix.
Food orgy. And you're being dirty now.
That's not dirty. It's all clean. It's just food. You get a prefix meal, three courses for $26, and one of those dollars goes to charity. And in this year, we've got, I think, 17 restaurants participating, and a bunch of them have already sold out.
Yeah. Well, so, they usually do now. That's one of the lessons of Restaurant Week is you got to get in fast.
You got to get in fast. Although, I'll bet you Monday night, I bet you could probably...
Tonight?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just betting. I hope I'm not getting in trouble. But if I really had my heart set on going somewhere, I would just... What's that thing Woody Allen said? Like 90% of life is just showing up.
Yeah.
I would just show up and go, pretty please, pretty please. In fact, tonight at one of the sold out restaurants is Fawcett's at Keswick Hall. Guess what they're offering?
That's yum. I like it there. What are they offering? What?
You can spend the night for $99.
Get out.
I mean, that is I don't know what the current rack rate at that luxury lodging is, but it's a lot.
Probably hundreds a night.
It's hundreds.
Yeah.
And so $99 tonight and tomorrow night. So
to stay out at...
To stay at Keswick. I mean, I've paid more than that to stay at like a Sheraton on the highway. Let alone a place with an infinity pool and a health
and a
spa
pool table. And they got all sorts of stuff there.
Oh, man.
It's deluxe. That place is gorgeous.
Let's hope
and the food is fantastic, but expensive. So,
but not tonight. If you
not tonight,
get
if you get out there
for a Restaurant Week deal,
go out there for Restaurant Week. It's sevilleyum.com is the website-ery.
Yes, the website-ery.
The website-ery that you want to go, like the food drinkery.
Yes.
That you want to visit. Sevilleyum.com is a website. So if you could pick anywhere to eat in Charlottesville, where did I eat last night? I think I ate at Rapture. Got a crab cake sandwich.
It was good.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best in town.
Oh, you know what Rapture has
really
that
good.
I like? They have this, for lunch, they have this salmon. Tuna. Tuna. It's like almost sushi grade tuna.
Yeah.
With like avocado and a really thick applewood smoked bacon.
You've already lost me. I don't like tuna that's not cooked.
Dude, you don't
like
tuna
avocado
that's not cooked.
And I don't like bacon. I'm sorry.
Well, okay,
I'm
those
sorry.
Are basically
you lost me.
Those are basically my three favorite foods. All squeezed together in one sandwich. We'll call it the Coy Barefoot Horror Sandwich, the Hos Spencer Heaven Sandwich.
I do like their crab cake. You melt a little cheese on it, a little lettuce, tomato.
You probably order things Alfredo, don't you?
What do you mean?
With that white cream sauce.
Oh, that's good.
Ugh.
I love that. With a little chicken in it, some noodles. Oh, my gosh.
That's like so Olive Garden, Coy.
I'm an Olive Garden guy, Hawes. I'm easy to please. When it comes to food, my bar is set so low, it's down in the shag carpeting. I'm easy to please. I'm a Domino's pizza guy, Hawes.
You're like a 1950s American gourmet. You set it on fire, and Coy's like, oh, that's gourmet cooking. That thing's burning. I know it's good.
It sounds good. I am very easy to please when it comes to food. 546, 34 degrees. Hawes Spencer's live in studio. Glad he could be here because he was out on Friday.
I was skiing.
How was it? Was it nice?
Oh, man. I was in West Virginia. And they had like
it's called Snowshoe. I've heard of that.
Yeah, they had 6 or 8 inches of fresh powder. It was so sweet. It was like Colorado skiing.
Listen to you, you're such a skier. You're so sweet, man. We were hanging 10. It was awesome. What did the ski bum say? Do you snowboard or you ski?
No, but I got into like
or do you tube?
I got into like a cursing match with a snowboarder who skied too close to one of my kids.
What happened? Did you get in a fight, Hoss? Did you fight? Did you have to throw a few?
We didn't throw a few. By the end of it, we were apologizing to each other for our misdeeds. But
was it a kid?
It was like a 20-year-old.
What happened?
He just snowboarded fast close to one of my poor little innocent children, and it
scared her.
Scared me.
Oh yeah. So what'd you say?
I just chased him down and used some colorful language.
You dropped some bombs.
I dropped a few bombs.
Hmm.
It's weird, man. When somebody skis close to your kid, it ignites anger that you just...
And so you're such a good skier. You could chase that guy down fast,
oh,
I'm sure.
Dude, I can chase anybody down. Yeah. No problem.
So what'd you do? How did you stop him?
I started screaming at him, and I skied right into his face until he stopped.
Oh, so you stop him, he stops, mm-hmm. You take off the goggles,
helmet. He fell down, because the snowboarders, like, once they stop...
Yeah.
They
gotta sit.
Yeah, they have to sit. So then he was upset.
So then he's sitting and you instantly have the upper hand because you're standing with weapons in each hand.
That's true.
And he's on his butt in the snow going, what's up, dude?
Well, then I felt bad because the guy was lying on the snow, but we worked it out.
What would you say? Like, hey, easy.
He was like asserting that I should have been skiing closer to my kid, but you're not supposed to ski close to other people. That's the whole thing. You're supposed to keep distance. Everyone should have a distance buffer. It's like driving, you know? Yeah. You stay away from other cars, and that's smart.
Slope etiquette. There you go.
Don't try
know
to
it, learn it, live it.
Yes.
There you go. And it's all about giving people a little space.
Give them a little space. It was, you know, wasn't that crowded up there?
So no punches thrown. You live to tell. You live to another day. Everything's okay.
Everything's okay. Yeah. Everybody, at the end of the day, we're all snow lovers at heart. You know?
There you go. All right. Hawes Spencer's live in studio. Before we let you go, we'll play a little Dead or Alive. Does that sound like fun?
Yeah, we can do a little Dead or Alive.
All right. That's a little fun.
I heard about a celebrity death today, but from you on your Twitter feed. Were you going to quiz me on that one?
I was, and here he is. There's the man.
There are two groups of people in this great country of ours who are so sadly out of condition. It makes me so sad. It makes me sick inside.
There you go.
He needs a speechwriter. It makes me so sad.
Group. Yeah, that's, of course, fitness guru Jack LaLanne, the man who taught a nation how to sweat. He was
Schwarzenegger before Schwarzenegger was Schwarzenegger.
He made Schwarzenegger possible. This is the guy that created the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's on television beginning in the 50s, you know, working out.
Was he the one?
Saying, kids, go get your mom and get her here right in front of the TV. We're going to work out. We're going to get healthy.
He's not the one who kicked that sand in that 97-pound weakling's face, is he?
That was him.
No, that was
Jack LaLanne.
That was Charles Atlas, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You got to memorize your comic books a little better.
Jack LaLanne is dead at 96.
Wow. Now, that's a good testament to his program.
Of course, he's correct. Jack LaLanne was right all along, as was Strom Thurmond.
What did Strom say?
Strom Thurmond said you got to work out all the time.
No way.
He's in his late 90s, and the dude, I know this because my father worked for him, dude was living by himself in a condo in Old Town Alexandria. Every day, he swam like 2 miles.
Come on.
In his late 90s. No, I'm not kidding. It's true.
Strom Thurmond?
Oh, he worked out all the time.
Wow.
He would, I interviewed drivers that would show up to get him in the morning. He's in his late 90s, and they'd go into his condo, and he's like on an exercise bike. He's like, I'll be ready in 30 minutes. I mean, the dude never stopped.
Wow.
That's the lesson. You got to work out. You want to live a long life and see people living on the moon? You got to work out every day. A little bit of something.
I want to see people living on Mars. So I guess I better work out.
Yeah. You start working out, Hawes. What do? You run barefoot, don't you?
You get
that new kind of, it's a trend in running, right?
That's what I hear.
Yeah. All right. How about Abe Vigoda? He played Fish on the TV series Barney Miller, and he also starred in the short-lived TV sitcom spinoff called Fish, which sounded like this. Remember this?
No, but that's really beautiful, Coy.
That was the show called Fish, which starred Fish.
What instrument made that little squealy noise?
I have no idea.
Is that one of those things when you stick a plug in the end of a trumpet?
I have no idea what it is.
Maybe we can give pizza to somebody who calls in and correctly identifies that, or actually they can just make it up.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know.
That sounds right. Oh, that's the Glockenspiel. Yeah, that's what that is. Well, then see, that sounds like a trumpet.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like a
squealy trumpet.
Could be a clarinet.
Maybe a clarinet.
I don't know. Anybody knows, we'll give you some pizza. 977-1070 is the phone number. Is Abe Vigoda dead or alive, Hawes Spencer?
Well, true, full disclosure, I think you and I have used him before on the show.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I think he's alive.
Yeah, he is indeed. You know how old he is? He's not 96.
89.
Is that your guess?
That's my guess.
That's exactly correct.
Well, see,
that's exactly correct.
I think I might have had it in my head from the last time you asked me.
How about, let me see, what's his name here? Jack Lord. Jack Lord, who of course starred in... Where is it? Okay, there it is. Jack Lord, book him, Dano, murder one. Is he dead or alive?
I'm not telling you because I don't want you to stop playing this great music.
Okay.
Crank it.
What is that? Is that a trumpet? Or a kazoo? That's electric guitar right there.
It's a kazoo. That's what
it is. We had a caller call in and said it was, interesting that instrument that was in the Fish show, which sounds like this, is a soprano saxophone.
Of course.
Give him some pizza. Of course it is. You know, that's what I was going to say. I'll bet that is a soprano sax.
That makes sense.
In the back of my mind, of course. I
can picture Bill Clinton playing that now.
Yeah. So, Jack Lord, Hawaii 5-0.
He's gone to that perfect wave in the sky.
He hasn't. Heart failure in 1998. How about Mary McGregor? She sang a song. I don't have it in front of me. Called Torn Between Two Lovers. Hawes, give us a little rendition of that.
Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool.
Oh, man, that sounds so good. American Idol, eat your heart out. That's exactly right. Mary McGregor, she dead or alive?
No, the sad part is that you knew I would know that song. We didn't even plan this in advance.
Of course I know you knew that. You're listening to that on the radio when we were kids in the 70s.
Yeah.
And it was on the radio all the time.
And you know what was the best part? Was when I was watching Taxi, and Danny DeVito saw a couple of his taxi cab drivers were falling in love, and he's like, torn between two losers.
Very funny.
Anyway.
Mary McGregor, dead or alive?
Alive.
How old is she?
63.
Man, you're good today.
Wait, what?
She's 62.
Whoa.
That is amazing. Hawes Spencer.
Yeah.
Give it up. That is absolutely amazing. I'm very impressed. Very impressed. We have time for one more, and we'll go with Jane Russell. She gained fame in the 1941 movie The Outlaw. And
she
appeared
was
in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and other movies and was a pinup. In World War II.
Wasn't she like Howard Hughes' girlfriend and she had that like torpedo-shaped bra?
I don't know about the Howard Hughes part, but the other part, yes. I've seen pictures.
Yeah.
I've heard stories.
Jane Russell.
Dead or alive?
Deceased.
Ah! Jane Russell is very much alive and doing okay, last I heard.
She's coming after me.
Yeah, she is indeed.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.